I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where you may not and you agree not to, or to enable others to, copy, decompile, reverse engineer, disassemble, attempt to derive the source code of, decrypt, modify, or create derivative works of It's a Thing or any services provided by Molly and Tom or any part thereof. Thanks for joining us.
And just to be clear, we do a parody of other people's terms of service at the beginning of the show. And in fact, that was all a lie because we are under a Creative Commons license.
Right.
But wow. You may not and you agree not to.
Without punctuation. Yeah. You may not and you agree not to. Or to enable others to. You will not do any of
That's
this
stuff. That's not English.
You could do all of this stuff with our show, but you can do none of that show. And this is a binding legal agreement. The second that you look at it or breathe on it or breathe near it, just FYI, this is from the software license agreement for Mac OS X. We should probably stop doing these because, like, it just makes you maybe just me.
Wait, you can't copy? You can't copy? You can't even copy your own operating system. That's going to be hard.
That's why we got to stop. It just like makes us irrationally furious at the companies with which we interact every single day. Cause like we know this is all in there, but then when you read it, you're just like, what the doo-da-boo-boo? I've been a little mad at OpenAI ever since the OpenAI privacy policy. I was like,
I guess they're saying you can't copy the source code now that I've untangled some of this.
Yeah, of course. It's just extremely.
So you'd have to get to the source code first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is not English. That's Loglish.
Luckily, our show is in English, and we are just here to bring you fun with no terms of service whatsoever.
De curaso. Chonan? Oh, sorry. It is in English, you said. That's right. So I am going to bring something we've talked about multiple times in the pre-show into the main show because of this hilarious BBC story. Whamageddon. Now, I know you're familiar with it because we've talked about it, but I wonder how many people out there are familiar with Whamageddon, do you think?
I mean, I was not until we talked about it in the pre-show, like last week, maybe-ish?
Yeah. Yeah. I became familiar with Whamageddon from Amos, one of the producers we work with for Know a Little More and Daily Tech News Show. And it is it's been running for years, a game you play starting December 1st to see how long you can go without hearing Wham's Last Christmas. And if you make it all the way to Christmas, then you win. And you can celebrate by playing Wham's Last Christmas, I guess, if you want. So people casually play this game. I guess it came up because I lost at a very unlikely place, and now I don't even remember where it was, to be honest.
Grocery store? No, that's not unlikely at all. I feel like everybody
would. No, it wasn't a grocery store. It was like, you know, a clothing store or something.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
I lost. Yeah, well, I'll tell the story after. First, it came up because, yes, Tom lost early.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you how you lost first before we get to this BBC story.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I said a text to the Thing Gang yesterday, the group chat, and was like, so does it count? Do I lose if I accidentally wham myself? Like if I put on a Christmas playlist, because I had a cookie decorating party and I was like, I want to put on a playlist. And so would that count? And they were like, yeah, dude, it definitely counts. And also it's everybody at your party. And I decided to take the risk. And it was like the third song that played. So I whammed myself and everybody.
You knew it was on the playlist?
No, I didn't really. I wasn't.
You
sure
just
it
thought
was.
It might be on the playlist.
I was pretty sure. I mean, once you're playing like Christmas hits and you've got the Ariana Grande, you know,
right? Santa, so it wasn't baby. A playlist you had created yourself.
No.
You were just grabbing a generic Christmas playlist and like, I don't know, they might play Wham.
Exactly, and I was like, I'm probably doomed. but you can't not have Christmas party at your cookie decorating
music. Not. Yeah.
So then not only did I wham myself, I mean, I made it all the way until the 13th, which frankly suggests I don't get out much. But I whammed everybody at the party too.
Yeah.
Which is actually relevant to this BBC story that you brought.
Exactly. Because a football stadium DJ, the football meaning soccer, had to apologize for playing Last Christmas by Wham, knocking more than 7,000 people out of Whamageddon contention. Matt Facer, DJ at Northampton Town, was criticized for playing the song at a home game against Portsmouth on December 2nd. And here's the sticker.
Whoa.
He knew. He knew what Whamageddon was. He thought it would be funny and didn't realize how many people not only knew about it, but took it seriously.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, then he deserves all of the mean tweets. He said, I had a bit of an insult on Twitter. Lighthearted, ha ha ha. But I officially, and he said, and apparently the Twitter stuff was quite tame to what was being said in the stadium. And so he officially apologized for ruining everyone's Christmas.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The best part about this was I actually heard this on the flash briefing, the BBC News flash briefing, which is like the 10 most important stories of the day, of the moment, right? And I was like, wait, so people just got mad because he played it? And then I read this story and I was like, oh, and he knew. That's why they got mad. It wasn't like, oh, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. It was that he thought it would be funny to wipe 7,000 people out of the game.
Yeah, he's a monster. And also, that's pretty funny. Yeah, so it is like it's enough of a thing. By the way, if you don't know the song that we're talking about, I'm going to sing a little bit and you're not going to don't panic because covers don't count. Not that this would even be close to.
This does not count.
But it's the one that goes, last Christmas, I gave you my heart. Very next day, you gave it away. You know, that song. Yeah. That's the one we're talking about. And there are rules at whamageddon.com. There's merch. Stay safe, Whamageddon. Stay vigilant. Is the shirt. There are Wham fathers. I mean, this is hysterical. And I am so excited that I found out about it. And then I asked my son and he didn't know about it. So then I felt even more special. And now I feel really like an idiot because I was on a roll. I should not have played that playlist last night. I should have gone with the oldie timey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff. Like Christmas classics, Christmas maybe?
Classics. Yeah, like you can't go pop.
Like Bing classics Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and Dean Martin. Yeah.
Exactly. I would have had to rock some Bing Crosby at my fun party, which Anyway, Whamageddon, it's a thing.
It is. Well, how are you going to console yourself?
I'm just going to have to lay on the couch in a blanket that is also a sweatshirt, which evidently is called a comfy.
Wait, not a slanket?
Okay, so here's what has happened.
I know. This is amazing. I'm very curious.
The slanket has become the comfy.
Uh-huh.
And now the comfy is the smash gift of the last 2 years.
So
and
this
I'm seeing people talk about how they're going to be sitting around in their comfy. Like everybody, this is like the most amazing branding success that I can think of in years. It is
the
like
triumph of rebranding. This is amazing.
The inverse of naming Twitter X. They took the slanket, which is like the most unappealing name ever and probably was getting blocked by social media algorithms just in case.
Just because we don't know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. And they turned it into the comfy and it's the same thing. I mean, it's like it's a specific brand.
It's exactly the same thing.
But it's the same exact thing. It's a wearable blanket and people are obsessed with them and they're all buying them. And this is the point where I would like to say that I am not wearing a comfy, but I am wearing an Aldi Christmas onesie that producer Rich and producer wife Jackie picked out for me. And so I'm feeling kind of on trend because, do you have one too? Why are you not wearing it? Oh, you got the hat.
I got the Aldi toque.
Oh my God. Hold on. I'm going to, for those who are going to be seeing this social video later,
Clearly has not been cold enough for me to wear it because the tag's still on. Oh, that's amazing. Wow. It's It's a unified look, too.
It's a unified look.
Like, you could wear this with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could hang out, mm-hmm. and everybody would be like, oh, do you live near Aldi's?
Aldi twins.
Aldi twins. Because Aldi has
Thank you, Rich and Jackie.
Thank you, Rich and Jackie. So it's kind of like a comfy, mm-hmm. but it's a onesie. Yeah, yeah. But this whole shaboodle is like back. The comfy. Beautiful, beautiful branding thing. Well played. Bravo. Hallelujah. Everyone can buy each other this item now without being a little uncomfortable.
As launched on Shark Tank in 2017.
Uh-huh.
But
I guess it took this long to hit.
But known as the slanket. And like they didn't go, that's just a slanket?
It's I don't so know. Funny.
Maybe it was the genius of naming it the comfy.
Maybe it really was. And they were just like, that's fine. Because, yeah, it's really, it's hitting. It's hitting hard. Well, also, there's remember when we talked about the teddy jacket? Mm-hmm, there's a comfy teddy bear full zip version. That's like a teddy jacket on the inside, but a little more stylish.
Now, this is definitely something you're going to buy online.
Yeah. Or I mean, maybe as seen on TV.
I was going to say, if you can find an As Seen on TV store or section of a store, it's the kind of thing I would have expected to see back in when Bed Bath & Beyond was still a physical store.
Oh.
Yeah. May it. Yeah. I mean, it still exists online. Somebody bought the name and they're keeping, they're doing that thing.
Matter.
Zombie branding.
You don't know
it.
What you want at Bed Bath & Beyond.
No. You want to run across a comfy and then go up to a checkout counter with a person behind it. Because everybody hates self-checkout.
I'm so happy about this.
So this isn't
has been
new.
My thing for nigh on a decade. Tell me more about how everybody just caught up.
I have been noticing more and more people just assuming you all hate self-checkout, right? We like, not like, I don't know about you, but I hate self-checkout, but sort of the like, well, we all hate self-checkout. And so blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, when did this become a thing? I did a little research. The Think pieces started last year, like just about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And then they bubbled and bubbled and bubbled all year long to the point that now we're getting Boing Boing's Rob Beshiza writing about Dollar General reducing the number of self-checkout options with the angle of, well, of course, they say it's for other reasons, but it's because we all hate self-checkout.
Right. We all can't stand it. It's the worst. Well, because they never work. I mean, when they work, there's one store, like the Safeway near my house. I freaking love the self-checkout because no one knows it's there. Mm-hmm. And it really, really works. And you never get the like, oh, it's an unexpected item in the bagging area. Help is on the way. You don't get that. It works. And no one knows it's there. And it's just you're in and out and pew. And there are lots of things to love about them when they are effective. But no one knows how to use them. They're always weirdly designed into a strange little nightmare horseshoe shape that just jams people up. You can't take alcohol through there, so people are always screwing up and having to leave.
Yeah.
And then you always need a person for help. They just don't, and they just, half of them are like from the 90s and act as though they're from the 90s. It's not that we're dying to interact with people. It's that the technology is bad.
I agree. And I just used self-checkout minutes ago at Ralph's when I went to the grocery store. I had no issues this time. I prefer to use self-checkout because I don't want to wait in line, and the lines are always shorter for self-checkout at my grocery store. I don't want to have to talk to somebody because that's just who I am. I'm an I, not an E. But I do get really frustrated when they don't work. So I think the problem isn't that self-checkout sucks. The problem is when self-checkout sucks. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't have to.
Mm-mm. When it works, it's awesome.
And there are working versions of it around the world. Just not the ones in most of the places. Is it because they're cheaping out on this stuff?
Those are the literal words that I was about to use. I was like, this smacks to me of all of the retailers who were like, we're closing all of these stores because of shoplifting and gangs, and then we're forced to admit, and there's even a Boing Boing story on the same page, and then we're forced to admit like, oh yeah, we totally lied about the scale of the shoplifting and the gangs and the retail organized theft. That was just not true. We just didn't do well because reasons. So we closed the store, and we blamed the bad brown people. This, to me, feels like all these companies cheaped out on crappy old self-checkout systems that they never updated. And now they're just like, everyone hates them, so we're going to get rid of them. And it's like, well, because when it works, it's awesome.
Now, I hear in the distance someone saying, ah, but self-checkout takes away people's jobs. I have seen evidence that that part isn't true.
Yeah.
The stores that have put in self-checkout really have just shifted people into other duties that improve the store. So that part of self-checkout does seem to be true, where they don't reduce staff. They actually put staff on things like stocking and cleaning and, you know, things that make your store work better. But then they have to put them back on self-checkout because self-checkout's so bad, you need extra help to watch the self-checkout.
And so then the store keeps getting not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're tweaking policies, they're shrinking, you know, Target's like, you can do it if you have 10 items. That's actually very smart. Costco is adding more staff because non-members were sneaking in. But somebody made the very good point, it's quoted, I think, in this Boing Boing story, that what this really is she, I'm keeping it clean for the kids, is she automation?
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have to be. That's the thing. You
doesn't have to be.
You do have to pay a little more money to do the good automation. But then you pay less money because people are happy. They buy more. You have a better store.
You can redirect employees to like cleaning up or just making, you know,
or providing direct service, you know.
Being like, can I help you? Because all my stuff is behind locked plastic because I lied about retail theft. Especially in places
where like everything is behind a locked.
Everything is
behind. It's weird here. It's weird in LA. It seems like people only steal things from drugstores.
So weird, isn't it?
Yeah, because I go to the grocery store and they have some stuff locked away up front, but most of it's fine. I go to CVS and everything is locked up.
It's so weird how I just cannot, like, they
and people it's right just across the street
only steal deodorant from CVS, but like,
yeah, they only steal it on that side of the street, not on the
deodorant
other.
Deodorant galore.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yep.
Anyway,
it's all
people hating self-checkout. Definitely a thing.
Definitely a thing. I'm all right. I'm back in the holiday spirit. Enough of this thievery and and anger at stores. The hot 90s and 80s inspired decorating trend of the season is felted wool decor.
Oh, yeah.
Bring Have you seen this everywhere?
Again.
It'll never really get old. But this season, it's everywhere. Shout out to my friend Melanie, because I had been sort of like vaguely noticing it, and then she was like, look, have you talked about this on the show? Because it is everywhere. And I was like, oh wow, it is. And I know this because I already have like 4 Trader Joe's felted wool trivets. And then we went to the fancy nursery that is full of extreme holiday extravaganza. And then I found this article from Canada, but, you know, I think it still applies. Holiday retailers say shoppers are indulging in nostalgia-fueled maximalism decor as a trend, and that they have sold a lot of products that are felted and made of wool. And that runs in sync with some of the maximalism around nostalgic gifts and home decor. It goes right alongside the big plug-in Santa. It's like all of a piece.
Yep.
But the felted wool, it's so satisfying. It just makes me feel like childhood.
My favorite thing from Christmas before Christmas Day, right? The thing leading up to Christmas was an advent calendar, which we've talked about advent calendars being a thing. Mm-hmm. An advent calendar that my grandma made that had a felt Christmas tree and then a pocket for every day, 1 through 24, of felt ornaments. And every day, either me or my sister would get to take one of the felt ornaments out and put it on the felt Christmas tree with a little safety pin. And then at the very end was the star. And you put it at the top of the felt Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. And then you knew it was Christmas.
So cute.
Everything felt with some sequins, of course.
Yeah, I remember this. I can see it in my mind. Can see it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Felt. Oh my God. There's a hand felted yellow New York City Metro card decoration available for sale. Ambassador Domo put this in the Discord chat.
That's amazing.
And I think somebody else made the point that felting the craft might be coming back.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
So maybe that's what's happening. But yeah. No, there's, yeah. Felt gumdrop and candy cane. Felted gnomes. Lots of gnomes. I mean, I can't more highly recommend. It is so comfy. Boy, I really picked a little set of cozies, didn't I?
Comfy
and the felted wool.
And the felted decor. And I'm like losing Whamageddon and hating self-checkout. Sorry. I
know. You know, we have literally
thank you for bringing us back up.
We have perfectly represented the two sides of the holiday season, which is like, I'm delighted and enraged.
It's true. It's true. That's yeah. That's the true meaning of Christmas.
That's right the there. Season.
This is fantastic. Also, before we get to your things, I wanted to follow up again on Riz. We already took a victory lap because it was word of the year, but because it was word of the year, I noted a couple of stories this week. One, a reader in rhetoric at the University of Sussex. So if that doesn't make sense to you, rhetoric is like super academic, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're studying kind of when you're mm-hmm. a rhetoric professor or major, and a reader in rhetoric is just a very, just dripping with academia. Reader in rhetoric at the University of Sussex wrote the following story. Riz, I study the history of charisma. Here's why the word of the year is misunderstood.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And he's talking about how people really mean charm when they say Riz. Mm-hmm. Because charisma was originally about kind of having a personality that inspired people. And it's only from the 20th century that it was revived. It was an old Greek word that kind of got dragged back into usage in the 20th century and was applied to a lot of charismatic dictators in the early part of the 20th century.
Awkward.
And so he's pointing out, like, we're definitely using it different. We're meaning charm. You're charming to people when we say Riz these days.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And
anyway, the whole point of this is not me pass along his analysis of Riz, but like readers in rhetoric at the University of Sussex are now writing think pieces about Riz.
I mean, that's where we are. That is infinity thing.
I had to note that Know Your Meme, which has been documenting Riz from the beginning, mm-hmm. Has a new entry called Rizmus Carols.
Which includes the subhead, All I Get for Rizmus. I would like off this roller coaster now.
Know Your Meme notes that Rizmus Carols is part of a series on sticking out your gat for the Rizzler.
I mean, I know that language is an ever-evolving thing, but maybe we could stop now.
I don't know. I'm kind of loving it.
I think I might become like those French people who are just like, no, no.
We need an academy.
Multi shelter. No.
Well, we love all the words you send us in your emails, feedback@itsathing.me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Keep the feedback coming. Let's kick it off with Chuck, who is looking back at the end of the year. Hi, Tom and Molly. Looking for a thing check on a timely event that seems to be taking over more of my socials, apps, and inbox than ever before. Year in review summaries. I recall all the excitement with the Spotify Wrapped growing the last year or two. But this year, it feels like everyone has mm-hmm. this in their playbook. All of them sharing a level of detail on my usage and trends that starts off mildly interesting with the lighthearted graphics and all, but quickly becomes mildly terrifying when I realize how much info they actually have. Duolingo, Reddit, even the app for my bed telling me about my year in sleep. Is this a thing?
You know.
Thank you all. Love the show. BOLer since way back before Jamota the Turtle.
Oh, Jamota the Turtle.
Oh my God, Jamota the Turtle. Chuck.
Yeah. This is now that I'm reading Chuck's email, it's starting to give me April Fool's vibes.
Oh, totally. Or you Talk know? Like a Pirate Day vibes. Like it's going to be like by next year, we're going to be like enough.
Like next year might be the tipping point. This year people still seem to be into it. Like Chuck mm-hmm. is one of the first people to go like, is this okay? Do we need to keep doing this? And then next year it might be the overload where everybody does it. you know, like Dropbox, LinkedIn, you know.
Here's and how then, many files you uploaded.
And then
year.
Suddenly everybody's like, that's no thanks. I don't You're need this anymore.
Yeah, no one wants to know. Like, it's like, though, it's like looking in, it's looking in an extreme magnification mirror. You don't want to know what your pores look like.
It was fun to be like, ooh, what did I listen to the most this year? Mm-hmm. Right? That was a great idea, Spotify.
Right. It was.
I don't need to know everything about every single thing.
Exactly. And it really does. And there was already the murmur about how the Spotify Wrapped would tell a little story about you, whether it was like, oh, it just means my kids listened to this, or my partner took over my, you know, or like, oh, I had a broken heart. But it, when you do start to apply it to all the parts of your life, it is going to be a little too much, too much of a close-up mirror.
Yeah. Just the like top that. Five artists and songs. That's really all I need.
I'm just going to quietly save this for the prediction show.
That's a good idea. Bernie has a new place for It's a Thing. He says, hey, guys, longtime listener from the BOL days. Oh, it's good to have so many BOL people discovering us.
Oh, fun.
Just wanted to let you know that It's a Thing has become my go-to puttering around the garage podcast of choice. The old podcast was Current Geek. Pour out some old brake fluid for that one. Responsibly, of course. Love the show. Oh, good. I hope you're puttering right now, Bernie.
That is wonderful. I love it. And then Manny is back. Doctorate, I believe our only THD or our first THD for sure,
certainly,
is back, calling his shot. Let me start off by disclaiming that I'm a little behind. And if this has been covered already, consider it a hearty seconding. I think we can assume, Manny, it has not. Mm-hmm. That out of the way, I'm going to make a bold claim that's actually kind of just a layup. Lethal Company is to us now what Among Us was in 2020. It's a game that has been growing in popularity over the last couple months, and I almost wrote in earlier to the point where I'm scared I might be too late, but it is everywhere. It's a horror-adjacent game that's basically a contrived commentary on predatory capitalism, but set in space. Make your profit quota or be killed. Good times. On a different tone, I may know the origin of Connections. Or at least a part of it. There's likely an earlier existence of this game I was unable to find, but I remember a British game or quiz show about 10 years ago called Only Connect that featured this exact style of game as a final round. 16 words, your job to sort them. Useful information? Not in the slightest. But it's cool that next time your friends bring up Connections, you can now go, hey, did you know? Which we will. I will now, writes Manny, return to my hibernation to rise again when the things call.
Thank you for your service, Manny.
Thank you, Manny. I have not heard of Lethal Company, and so I should go start buying figurines now.
Yeah.
If it's about to become the Among Us.
That is extraordinarily helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, I by the time my cousins come for Christmas, I will now be able to intelligently say, oh, you mean Lethal Company? Mm-hmm. The co-op horror game for Windows? and that's all thanks to you, Manny.
That's all. We couldn't do it without you, buddy.
Matt has a thing confirmation to round us out here. Hello, Molly, Tom, and Rich. Thing confirmation. My wife recently dropped drinking coffee and started drinking a powdered energy drink called Amino Energy in the morning. The most recent container she got has collagen included.
Oh, snap. That's indeed amazing.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Incredible. Incredible. Feedback at itsathing.me is where you can email us. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can support us at any level. If you choose to support us at the shout out level, you will get a custom shout out handcrafted by Rich Truffolino, almost like he was felting it out of wool. Mm-hmm. And this week's shout outs are based on the patent method of making Christmas tinsel submitted by Walter Schreck on 11/25/1969.
Wait, there was no patent on Christmas tinsel before 1969?
Kind of crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Pretty wild to contemplate.
Indeed.
Yep. All right.
How seasonal.
How seasonal. I know. Love it. All right. Should I kick us off?
Please do.
Benjamin Forrest, made according to this invention, possessed the soft draping of lead foil Morris Jones while eliminating the ever-present danger of possible Eric Duncan poisoning due to ingestion of AB Puppy by James C. Smith or young children. At the same time, they resist Joe Hood and are relatively non-matting, even when badly snarled and when made with Kevin Sill, such as Polly Gabrielle Cohen Polymers and Jake Woods, known to have self-cohering Laura Abel characteristics.
To aid in the Brian Gianforcaro characteristics, AJ Venturilla may be plasticized with suitable combustion-resistant, non-volatile Valor trucks, which Lee Price manufacturers frequently incorporate to soften Louis Saint-Amour for various uses, provided such materials are used only in an amount which does not interfere with the transparency or iridescence of Mike Akins.
Mike Akins is legendarily iridescent. We can all agree.
Iridescent to the max. Thank you, Mike Akins.
Producer Rich makes an important clarification, which is that this was a novel production of tinsel. There had probably been other, and there might actually, have been other as you read it, you can tell.
On making tinsel. This is a particular method. Okay.
Previously, all of it was just poison lead.
Yeah. Our novel approach to making tinsel does not poison children.
Exactly. Much like our novel approach to shout-outs delights us week after week. Thank you so much for supporting the show at patreon.com/itsathing. You can become a member at any level, and you can join your fellow fans in the Discord every week. You also get an ad-free RSS feed and some other benefits. patreon.com/itsathing.
You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for them in the show notes over at our shopping page, itsathing.me/shop. And you can email us your things. We love those. Keep them coming. Manny and everybody, feedback@itsathing.me.
We love them. Happy last day of Hanukkah. And see you
Happy
next
last
week.
Day.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.